Old Path, where the good way is. Timeless truth from the Bible, Christian teaching, thought and meditations from prior times, read by missionary to Africa, James Robinet.
The Properties of Providence by William Plummer, 1802 through 1880. God is above all law, being himself independent and supreme. His own infinitely excellent nature is the law of his being and of his action. This very nature fits him in all respects to be the ruler of the world. God's providence is holy, because God is holy. His providence is holy in all its works. He plots no mischief, works no evil, favors no sin, but in the winding up of human affairs, he will bring a terrible overthrow on all the workers of iniquity. He hates sin with a perfect hatred. To him it is a horrible thing, Jeremiah 5, verse 30. It cannot be proven that God hates anything but sin. Nor has any mortal an adequate conception of the intensity of the aversion of the divine mind to every form and specie of iniquity. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name, for thou only art holy? Revelation 15, verse 4. Indeed, the bliss of the heavenly world depends upon the absolute and unqualified confidence of saints and angels in the infinite rectitude of God's nature. Isaiah 6, verse 3. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. Psalm 145. God's providence is just. From God's holiness necessarily results his justice. Dr. Woods. The plan of providence is such that sin will be stigmatized and sinners punished, while holiness will be honored and those who are holy rewarded. Justice is certainly an amiable attribute to any person or government. By a fiction of law under the British Constitution, the king can do no wrong. The reason is that his ministers are responsible, but it is no fiction of law or theology that the judge of all the earth cannot but do right. Genesis 18, verse 25. In the worship of the temple not made with hands, they sing, "Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints." Revelation 15, verse 3. God's providence is benevolent. Indeed, God's tender mercies are over all his works. Psalm 145, verse 9. The same benevolence which prompted him to create the world must prompt him to preserve and govern it. When we consider the care of providence over the children of men, as it is manifested either in the works of nature or of grace, we naturally fall into the reflection, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" Psalm 8, verse 4. And we wonder to see so much done for men who seem to have no merit or desert equal to the concern shown for them. God's providence is wise. In it are no gaps, no failures, no mistakes, no oversights. The same wisdom which contrived so wonderful and glorious a system can and will direct it and control it. Because God's plans embrace all causes and all effects, all facts and all possibilities, all actions and all words, it is impossible that he should be overreached. It is infinitely easy for him to take the wise in their own craftiness. Job 5, verse 13. God's providence is supreme and therefore sovereign. It is over all and above all. He has no divided dominion. He is the sole arbiter of events and destinies. He says, "See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal, neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. Deuteronomy 32, verse 39. I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Isaiah 44, verse 6. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. There is no God else beside me. A just God and a Savior, there is none beside me. Isaiah 45, verse 5 and verse 21.